Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Need to Read. My name's Ed. I'm always the host. And today I'm joined again, as I have been before in episode 92, by David Robert Grimes. David is a scientist, author, and a keen Instagrammer. Not like Instagram, he kind of like TikToks, but he goes on Instagram and he dispels information and misinformation and propaganda and conspiracy theories. And he's a really interesting guy to follow. One of those people that you follow and you just feel a bit smarter once you've consumed their content, right? You kind of want to feel smart. You don't want to just like mess up that sentence when you're talking about feeling smart, do you? That would be a terrible idea. Now, David has been on the podcast before, but this time I wanted to chat about something different with him. And I wanted to chat to him about the law of attraction, because you might have noticed that I have it in for self-help gurus, especially people who talk about manifesting and truly try and sell it. I have a real issue with those people because I think they take advantage of the vulnerable, and that, in my books, is no bueno. So David's here to chat about it. He's a scientist. You can believe him way more than you can believe me about stuff like this. He has a great reputation, and he's come into contact with this kind of misinformation quite a few times before, so he knows what he's talking about, right? So it was a pleasure to have him on. This podcast is shorter than most. It was actually meant to be part of a new series I was going to be doing, but I'm going to save the world the bother of having another white guys podcast out there and just keep it to A Need to Read and actually put some more effort in, which people might be pleased to hear. I do have some news about the podcast, the book club. The book club is available now on Substack. If you want to go to my Substack, check it out. Check out the book we're reading This Is Not Propaganda, which is about the war against reality in Russia, and actually all over the world, because there's lots of propaganda going on. So if you want to chat with me about that book and read it with me and, you know, help me pay my bills, just head to Substack. On that note as well, if anyone does want to help me pay my bills, you can just become a paid subscriber to the Substack anyway. It's like £5, £6. I don't know, maybe I've got some richies listening to this podcast. You never know, guys. Some of you will think, why would I give you £5? And some people will be like, well, I wipe my ass £5, so I'll happily give it to him. Depends on which person you are. I love you either way. This podcast, though, anyway, if anyone is struggling with their mental health, it's sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp provide therapy to people, which is brilliant. Therapy has changed my life. It's changed the life of loads of people I love, and actually lots of listeners to A Need to Read. So you, as a listener, get 10% off your first month, which is great. I know things are pretty tough right now for people, and they do offer financial support as well. But if you want to check it out, you can choose your therapist based on their gender, their speciality, and where they are in the world. Because they've also got therapists in the UK now, which is great, because they haven't always had that. So if you want to get therapy for a fraction of the cost of face-to-face, from the safety of wherever the hell you'd like to have your online conversations, head to betterhelp.com/a need to read. You can get 10% off your first month, and you can also just start chatting to a therapist, which will probably have a wholly positive impact on your life. Details for that are in the description, along with loads of other nice cool little bits that you can check out. But look, let's face it, you want to listen to me and David have a chinwag about the law of attraction, and who am I to get in the way of that? We'll get right into it. The secret. Rhonda Byrne made that little phrase really, really famous. She sold millions of copies of a book. And I personally think it might be a more damaging book than it is helpful. And you, David Grimes, can explain a little bit about why I might be right.
Yeah. So I this book originally came out in 2005. But the adage it was repeating wasn't a new one. Essentially, the premise is, if you visualize something enough, if you wish for something enough, the universe will hear that and reward that wish. And they called this the law of attraction. The idea that, the you know, if you, say, really wanted a new car, you visualize having a new car and the universe will give it to you. Now, I shouldn't have to explain that that's probably not at all true. In fact, you're not looking at, and the converse of it, and the way you do this in scientific ways, is that philosophy likely to be true? Well, here it is, you can test it. You do it by contradiction. Look at people who are in terrible situations, say stuck in a war zone in the Ukraine, or maybe starving in sub-Saharan Africa. Are you saying that they're there because they weren't visualizing food enough? And this is the problem. And of course, people would recoil at that and go, absolutely not. But that's what we do all the time. If we accept the premise that the universe is rewarding us for visualizing, it's also punishing people for not doing so. The idea wasn't new, by the way. The first recorded instance I could find of the term the law of attraction, which, by the way, is not a physical law and is not even a sensible one, is from 1891.
That's
very old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in the spiritualist movement, of course, where this kind of stuff used to thrive back then. It then reappeared in New Age thought in the 1960s and 1970s, okay. Disappeared for a while, and then got really big again when it was regurgitated in the book The Secret in 2005, and has continued to percolate in the background. The dawn of Instagram, which obviously is a very visual medium, it kind of brought it back. I mean, it's gotten influencers now talking about it, and it's like 20 years after The Secret's come out, they're just the next chapter to repeat a long debunked credo.
Okay, so this is something people have been falling for quite a long time. And you mentioned the era then around the 1890s. What was that called? The new spiritualist?
It would have been the spiritualist era, or it would have been the time where people were dabbling with belief systems, and maybe it wasn't as rigid as the prior Victorian days had been in terms of belief. And you had a lot of people embracing fairly esoteric ideas, particularly in high society. But that's actually something you still see. The people that subscribe to these ideas and really, you know, say, well, it worked for me, tend to be quite advantaged people.
Yes.
So, for example, someone said, why is it always a rich white girl who visualizes a new car and gets it? And the answer is probably because she's a rich white girl.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. And that's a great example of a thing called survivorship bias. Right. When people tell me it worked for me, and I often hear people say this when I criticize this, I'm like, that's great. It didn't work for you. You got lucky. I said, if thousands and thousands of people who say visualized a new car, the ones that had money got it, right? That's fair enough, right? The vast majority of people that did that didn't. So all you hear about are the success stories. You know, oh, it worked for me. You don't hear about the thousands upon thousands of cases where it did not work. And also, I mean, I used to play the kind of thought experiment with people who, I have an aunt who's really into this.
Yeah.
I remember telling her at one stage, I go, what if my visualization of the universe is I just wanted you dead? This is what, I mean, do I get that? Because you obviously are visualizing you not being dead. I go, look, the universe is not cold and uncaring, but it's certainly indifferent, right? Mm. And then you have this kind of abrasion of quantum theory. Now, this is, you saw this from the 1970s New Age era of this, started bringing in ideas from quantum mechanics. Or trying to. It would say things like, oh, the universe feels your vibrations or is entangled to your quantum, and they were using terms that are real and have a very specific meaning in quantum mechanics. Their quantum mechanics is weird. I'm a physicist by background. I haven't been a physicist for a long time. I've been in medicine too long. But quantum mechanics is fascinating to learn about. And it's true that things at very subatomic level can be entangled and interact in ways you'd never expect. But the astute observer will notice that humans are a hell of a lot bigger than subatomic particles. And those laws don't apply to us, and nor would they. Nor do they apply to our thoughts, by the way. So this whole thing of putting vibrations out in the universe, it's gibberish. It's meaningless. It sounds like it could be science. It has that veneer, and it fools a lot of people. But it's a Deepak Chopraization. And in fact, the physicist Murray Gell-Mann got so annoyed about this that he used to call it quantum flapdoodle. And I still hear, I saw on Instagram, people talking about raising your vibrational state. I said, you are not a subatomic particle trapped in a well. This makes no sense in this context. And either you don't know it doesn't make sense because you're ignorant, or you do know it doesn't make sense and you're willing to exploit people. Either way, you should not be listened to.
This is the problem, because I feel that ethically, the people who are like trying to sell this or make a profit of this, they must be willfully ignorant. They must not be able to scratch a surface. Or I've had exchanges with people online, and they'll send me like a neuroscience, people who definitely cannot read neuroscience studies or make sense of any of the data. And I think it's like they paint themselves in this picture that they understand the quantum vibrations of their mind, and
the different ways that your like gamma and alpha waves work in your brain and how that can tune into yourself. It's almost as if they just keep talking until people are confused enough to agree with them.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a term in that in debating parlance. It's called a gish gallop. And it's named after a creationist called Gish, who used to throw out so many random facts that by the time you'd even engage them enough to debunk them or to counter them, he'd already moved on to the next five. And
Jordan Peterson-esque, some may say.
Very much so. I recently had to debunk a Jordan Peterson video, and that was torturous. Because, yes, it was a lot of...
I saw it with Richard Dawkins. Where Mr. Dawkins talk.
it was a bizarre thing, because I hadn't ever come across him in any depth, and I don't have any great desire to again. But there is a thing, and it's there's a thing that we are often fooled by. And there's a concept in academic philosophy known as pseudo-profound bullshit. And this is the idea that things that sound deep, things that have the correct syntax but maybe meaningless words, can be judged to be very profound when they actually have no meaning. There was a study done this a few years ago where they used a random word generator to put these sentences together and then put them to people. And one of them was, quiet begets infinite stillness, or something like that. No, it's syntactically correct. But it was randomly generated. It has no inherently deep meaning, but people projected a meaning on it. And the philosopher Harry Frankfurt calls this pseudo-profound bullshit. We have a tendency, and the people who sell manifestation, and they do sell it. They sell training courses in it, right?
Mm.
It's bizarre. They have a tendency to fall for it and to create it. It's like if you've ever been stoned in a dorm room with college students, that's the kind of level of discourse we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not deep, but it can fool people into thinking it's deep.
Yeah, it's like it's just so mean. Like a very cliched one would be live, laugh, love. It's like everyone can apply how they live and they laugh and they love in their lives, and that's a nice thing that they enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I see this so much now, and I definitely fell for it when I started like reading books, and I'd read like Eckhart Tolle, who I now think is insufferable human. I'd attach like meaning to a two sentence phrase in the book and be like, wow, that whole book is pretty good. When I forget sometimes we should throw the baby out with the bathwater.
And look, there's a thing, we're all searching for meaning, and I think that this takes advantage of it. But I think what's important to realize as well is there's a dark side to it, because I'm often asked, what's the harm? Now, I do a lot of work with patient groups, and you've probably heard the phrase toxic positivity.
Yep. Right,
where people are put under pressure to be positive or to be thankful, when maybe situations where the rational response is to be a bit miffed or to deal with your emotions and be upset and then process that. But it's even worse for patients. So I deal with patients who often have cancer, and often terminal cancer. And they have people who mean well, giving them copies of a secret saying, you know, you just think positively and you'll get over your lung cancer. Well, no, it's a stage 4. You will not get over it, right?
Yeah.
And we have good studies that show that people that are more optimistic don't live longer than people that are pessimistic, right? That's, in fact, sometimes it's the opposite. It's just because these things, a lot of things like are stochastic, but the very worst thing I've dealt with is patients who told me that they feel incredibly guilty because whether people mean to or not, they've made them feel it's their fault that they got this cancer because maybe they weren't positive enough, or maybe they didn't visualize not having cancer enough. And that's the dark converse of it. I mean, this is a real pressure patients often feel. And you know what? Disease is not a moral failing. Having bad luck is not a moral failing. I think we have to realize that the universe isn't sitting there adjusting some balance sheet to see if you did good, you get good. We all love that belief. It's the basis of a lot of religion. It's the basis of a lot of, if you believe in karma, for example, that's it. But actually, the world is probably a lot more random than that. And I always point out with karmatic beliefs are bizarre because they believe things like it doesn't sound bizarre, but if you believe that there's a score sheet being kept, that score sheet is often absolutely not cashed in on. Bad people do very well sometimes, and very good people get all the crap luck in the world. And that is because the universe is probably a lot more random, and we are a lot more subject to the whims of fate. We like to think that we influence a lot of it. We can control a small portion of our lives, sitting there wishing the universe gives us stuff is not going to do it. Putting things into action that will help get you stuff, like if I really wanted, let's go a very materialistic example again, and it is very materialistic. Let's go with an example. I really want a new car. I know you could save up for it and work really hard, and you know, that's practical. But sitting there just wishing the universe gives you stuff is a bit weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, it is always materialistic with the wishes. It doesn't seem to be, I'm going to manifest a better relationship with the people that I live with. It's like, which could be solved by sitting.
Yeah,
and
be
probably
nice.
Better for your well-being as well, in terms of like the social connections you'll build, the like better relationships to support you in the future when you manifest wrongly and shit goes wrong.
Absolutely. And there is a thing as well about that social media, I think, amplifies this. Because particularly things like Instagram and TikTok, less so Twitter, but Twitter's bad itself for different reasons.
Yeah.
These platforms, they are very aspirational. They are very look at me, look at my life, look at my perfect life, look at my Bugatti and my jet kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And people think that is the going to make them happy. It's the modifier of success. And look, it probably isn't. I mean, spoken as a person that owns neither a jet nor a Bugatti nor has any interest in either of them. But the point is, what people forget about social media is it is performative. You're not seeing the real thing. But people then go, that's the life I want. And I would often stop and question, it's the old adage, you know, be careful what you wish for. Would it really be? I don't know. But it's still, yeah, you're right. It's this cynically baseline materialism where if we really could ask for something beneficial would probably be a lot less flashy than that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then obviously there is a reason that people get drawn to this stuff. There's the universe is scary, the world is scary. Like you say, it's going to be cause and effect, and we mostly don't get to choose the causes that cause us to affect, right? So but how do you make sense of it? So for me personally, like my philosophical kind of I lean kind of towards nihilism until I'm clever enough to attach to something else that will make a bit more sense for me. But what about you?
Flip-flop all the time, I think, like probably yeah. Like yourself. But I think it's like this. I think we attach meaning for whatever reason, to whatever lucky selections, biological and chemical and physical, over the lifetime of the universe, we ended up here, right? Mm-hmm. I think meaning is something we attach. I don't think we're here with a meaning per se, but we have biological imperatives, or we want to reproduce and send on DNA and all that kind of stuff. But the nice thing for me, I find that kind of liberating. It's because you actually have limited time here. There's no score sheet. Yet. Just do what is going to benefit and make you happy and hopefully make other people happy as well. Mm. It's your life to live. And I find that oddly comforting in a roundabout way, that the universe doesn't really care. Other people might find that absolutely horrifying. And then you attach the meanings you make in life with your own. My meanings personally are like, I would probably lean towards humanism.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'd prefer to be here for and connect to people and do good for them and do good for me by extension. That's a meaning I have attributed to. If the meaning of life you've given it is accumulating wealth, well, you could... Maybe manifestation seems attractive to you for that reason. I don't know. For me, it personally wouldn't. I definitely am not qualified to answer the philosophical questions of why we're here. I reckon by random happenstance, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, David. You get to tell me where people can buy your book and stuff like that now.
Oh, God,
you've
been
great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. It was always a pleasure chatting to you. So you can find me on social media and Twitter at DORG1985, Instagram David_Robert_Grimes. My website is davidrobertgrimes.com. And if you're interested in my thoughts, I have a book called The Irrational Ape, Why We Fall for Conspiracy Theories, Disinformation and Propaganda, which deals with some of this manifestation stuff as well. And you can get that in most good bookshops, all good bookshops, and probably some terrible ones too.
Thank you very much, David.
thank you very much for listening to that episode of the show. All of the details for David or for the sponsor of the show are in the description, so please feel free to check them out. I'll put some links there and make your life a lot easier than if you have to search for it yourself, because, you know, God forbid you spend 6-7 seconds typing out some stuff, guys. It's all there. Legends, thanks much for listening. I will be a little bit more consistent with the need to read, as you hopefully we'll see over the next couple of weeks. Things are going to start picking back up again, and I did say I'm going to be putting a little bit more effort in, and that was not a lie. So thank you for being patient with me whilst I haven't been that consistent. I do appreciate all the support from all you listeners. You're absolute legends. Please consider sharing the podcast with a friend if you think someone might enjoy it. I love you, bye.